I'm going to go ahead and apologize now because me and the guys, we're coming off of a powerful guys getaway. I'm telling you, the Lord met us, and we have so many praise reports from this guys getaway. Before I preach, I want you to be able to celebrate with us. So just take a seat right where you are. Take a seat right where you are. Before I open the scripture, before we continue our series, I just wanted to give you a quick video so I can show you just a little bit of what we encountered as we came together as the men of the church and we prayed, we fellowshipped, we worshiped together, we were transparent, we confessed our sins to each other, we humbled ourselves, we washed each other's feet. There were so many things that we did, and we just prayed that the Lord would meet us. I just want to show you a quick video of something that happened at the guys getaway, and then we're going to get into our word today. Just take a look at the screen. Come on now. We working on it. There we go. There we go. There we go. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. The devil ain't happy in here. We're gonna celebrate this. We still gonna celebrate this. Oh, yeah. 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 Come on now. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, come on, come on. Get back on your feet and praise the Lord. If there's anything to celebrate, it's people confessing their faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh my gosh. What we planned as just a guy's getaway for us to have some time to grow in fellowship. Little did we know that brothers would be led to give their life to Christ, to rededicate themselves to Christ, to have a new beginning because of how we came together as brothers. And we've been in this series called Build Your Church. And the thing about the Lord is when you ask him to build the church, you're really asking him to build you up. So as we came together, he started to build us up from the inside out. And I just want to remind all of you that church is not church if we're not inviting people into a personal relationship with the Lord, if we're not celebrating the confession of faith, if people are not being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we're not doing those things, it's just entertainment, it's just a service. So all of the brothers who were baptized this weekend, I'm so honored and I'm so grateful that you made that step today. One more time, just give them some love all over the building. Yeah, come on now, come on, come on, come on. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before I get to the scripture, in his absence, I just wanted to honor my brother Marcellus, who he put the whole guys getaway together. And he made sure that we didn't neglect the vision of bringing the brothers together. So, brother, even in your absence, we honor you and we appreciate you for always pouring into us. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, build your church. We've been in this series for the whole month, and right now we're in part three. I want you to go with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, you got to go to the Old Testament today. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And as you're flipping in your Bibles and on your phone, I'm just giving you a little background. The Lord has been reminding us that God calls us into his church family, not simply to just be church attendees, but to be church builders. When we join Jesus on his mission to build the church, he builds us up and uses us to be a blessing to others. Do I have anybody in the room that wants to be a blessing to somebody? Lord, use my life, not just for me, but for somebody else. And today we're continuing our series with the teaching on generosity, because giving has been a primary way that God has used since the time of the Old Testament to build his church. Even before Christ came, there were sacrificial systems set up to give God what belongs to him and to acknowledge him as the source of everything that we have. And TGH, we're preparing to move, and I know that's exciting. We're moving into a new space, and we're celebrating 6 years next month, and all of these exciting things are happening. And I just want to make sure that as the pastor of this church, I'm teaching us and preparing us for how we should build his church. And there's a brother in the text named King David, where he's familiar with preparing to build the temple. Towards the end of his reign, he had a vision of building a temple that would honor the Lord for all that he had been doing for his people. Meet me in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's quite a few verses, but if you bear with me, we'll get through it. And if you say amen, I promise you I'll preach better and quicker and we'll be out of here. So pray for my voice, because we've been shouting and praising the Lord all weekend. I'm trying to conserve it, but I can't make any promises. Meet me in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you have it, say amen. Verse 1 says, then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for men. It's not for mere mortals. It's for the Lord God himself. Somebody say, it's for the Lord. Verse 2 says, using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood as stone and marble and onyx and precious stones. Verse 3 says, and now because of my devotion to the temple of God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 100 tons of gold and ophir and 262 tons of silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the building and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Then he looked at the people and said, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Verse 6 says, then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes, the generals, the captains, and the administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 1,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. Last verse, and we'll be done. The people rejoiced over the offering, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. Will you bow your heads with me today as we talk about one of the amazing ways that we come together as God's church to build his church through generosity? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, first of all, for you being
the source of every good and great gift. And we thank you that everything that we have is because you freely given to us. So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would place it on our hearts to be open to the word today, and that someone in this room would have a greater understanding of your generosity so that they can see what you have given them as a tool in their hands to bless you and your people back. Dear Heavenly Father, there's somebody in this room that needs to hear a word and needs to be encouraged and needs something to get them through the rest of the week. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill this room with your presence like you already have through worship. And I pray that somebody by the end of this service would ask, what must I do to be saved? Dear Heavenly Father, remove me out of the way and let your Holy Spirit speak. In the name of Jesus, all who agree with this prayer, say amen. Amen. Take a seat all over the building. As you sit down, look at your neighbor and say, ooh, it looks like God has given you a lot. God has been good to you. You look like you have a generous God. You look like God just keeps on giving and giving to you. He just won't stop blessing you. Every day, he keeps on giving to you. And I can tell because you look good today. You put on your good shoes, your good clothes. To praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. One of the greatest financial investments I've made in my life was purchasing a home before me and Jordan got married in 2020. At the time, I had to give a lot. I still know the number and I still know what I had in my account when I made that down payment. And I had to go into what I had saved in order to put money down in order to invest in a home. And now, 3 years later, I'm in the middle of selling that same home. And what I invested in 3 years ago is now going to return five times the value than what I put in. I need y'all to understand. When I gave, I didn't have it. But because I invested back then, what I put in has now multiplied because of my investment. But I can't help but think about the person who actually built that home. And I think to myself, what was their vision? Did they start with a piece of land and decide that they would build something knowing that not only what they were building would bless them, but it would bless somebody else who would come and invest in it? I wonder if they had that in mind when they built the house. And I believe that God has always had in mind when he decided to establish his kingdom on earth, that all who would invest in his kingdom, that there would be a greater return than what they put in. God gave his son, knowing that from his sacrifice, it would return to him all of those whom he loved and has called unto himself. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his best so that he could have a return on his investment in all of the children of God who would believe in his son. God knows what it's like to have to give out of what he loved and out of what he valued. He didn't just give of the minimum. He gave of himself, because how many of you know that Jesus is God? So God gave himself so that the return could be us. And then as we invest in his kingdom, as you see in the video, our investment still give God a return on what he gave through Jesus Christ. I just want you to know that God is the picture of generosity. Before we get into our generosity, there's no point in even talking about what we can give before you understand that we serve a generous giving God. There are things that he gives to you every day and every morning that we take for granted. Every breath that's in your lung, he gave that to you. Every word that you speak, he gave that to you. Every resource that you have, every opportunity, every open door, every good and great gift came from God. So when we talk about being generous for the sake of the kingdom, I want you to understand that like David, we're not giving to mere men. We're giving unto the Lord. In our text today, David was building and preparing for a temple, and he wasn't building it for his own namesake. He said, I'm building it to honor the Lord. And he was commissioning his son Solomon, whom would be the one to build the temple. God gave David the vision, but he called Solomon to fulfill the vision. And our first point that we get from David, if you're taking notes, the first point is, we give to God because he is so generous to us. Oh, do I have somebody who understands how good God has been to you? If God has given you anything, if he continues to be generous to you, we give to God not out of obligation, but out of appreciation and gratitude for his great generosity towards us. And King David, being the leader of the nation of God's people, he had to tell them all that the Lord had given him in a vision to build the temple. But he didn't just want to tell them the vision. He had to tell them how he prepared. And you saw in the first verses, he listed all of the ways he was preparing to build the temple. It was tons of gold, tons of silver, tons of metal. And he called his officials and all of the men in the families to come together to build the temple because he didn't want to call them into generosity without them seeing what he had gave. As the king and the leader, he didn't ask anything of the people that he didn't first do himself. So he had to list all of that he was giving. One of the scriptures says, I'm giving all of my wealth for the honor of God in the temple. So he was, by example, leading the people into generosity. Instead of commanding they give, he gave the example through his giving about generosity. But then when it came to commissioning his son Solomon, he started to pray for the building of the church. And that's how we get these points. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 is him praying to the Lord over building the temple. Are you there with me? David says, oh, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But this is a question that he had. He said, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything, somebody say everything. Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave to us. I need to play that back because that's too good. He said, everything we have came from you. And everything we give first belonged to you. This is so powerful when he says, who am I that I can give you anything? And what can we give you that didn't first come from your hands? Our gifts are reminders of his giving. So while you're giving, you're being reminded of his giving. When you're generous, it's a reminder of his generosity because you can't give God something that he didn't already give you. The scripture says all things in heaven and earth belong to the Lord. So there's nothing that you have that God didn't first give. Our giving is gratitude for how generously he has given to us. And let me tell you this truth. Until you become grateful for what God has given you, you will always struggle with being generous. Until you grow gratitude for how much God has given you, until you step out of the realm of comparison and stop looking at what he's given other people, and you focus on all that he's given you, and you start to live out of gratitude for what he's blessed you with, you will always struggle with giving back to him. Because if you don't give out of gratitude, it'll be out of obligation. And obligation breeds resentment towards the giver. When you give because somebody told you to, and not because you're grateful, because of the giver, you will always struggle. Look at what verse 15 says. He says, we are only here for a moment. We are visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a race. Many people struggle to be giving because they're storing up riches for themselves on earth. But the reality is our life on earth is passing by. Don't let me burst your bubble, but I'm gonna tell you, you won't live forever. Every day there are people who thought they'd be here and they aren't here. There are people who thought they were immortal, but God only knows the timeline of your life. And the scripture says our life is like a vapor. And there are a lot of us where we can't give to God because we're storing all of our resources on earth for us. And we can't even appreciate what he gave us because we're busy saving it up for ourselves. What we do with our resources is a sign of how we view and value eternity. If you don't have a value of eternity, you'll only invest in your life today. If you don't value eternal life with God in heaven, all of your resources will be invested in your life here. When the scripture says, why plan for tomorrow? Because it's not promised. You have no idea what's going to happen today when you leave church, when you get on the train, when you go home, when you go to the park, when you go to brunch, when you pour the mimosa, when you get with your girls. You have no idea. Somebody was like, ooh, pastor, don't say that. Because it is bottomless after church. We know. God bless you. You don't know what's going to happen. You make plans for tomorrow not knowing you have tomorrow. And one of the sources of pride when it comes to your generosity is you being prideful enough to believe that you can dictate how long your life is. Some of us are planning for when we're 80, but you only 28. You're thinking about retirement. You're thinking about what you're going to do, what beach you're going to be on, how you're going to bless your grandchildren. And that's amazing that you're planning that far ahead. But don't be caught investing in this life now and being prideful about tomorrow and not giving back to the person who gave you the resources you're saving up. We must know that our greatest investment is in eternity because our time on earth swiftly passes. We live in a culture that tells us that life is all about grinding and gaining riches and fame and being seen and having clout and stunning on everybody with the resources that you've and being validated with all of your accomplishments and showing everybody how much you've saved up and accomplished. But then you look at the wealthiest people in the world, and not only do they tend to seem like the most empty people in the world, those who have accomplished everything, those who have money that they can't count, like they have to pay somebody to deal with their money. That's how much money they got. And it seems like the richest people in the world, they go from being billionaires to philanthropists. They end up having to give away their money to have purpose in life. Because once you gain all of the things you gain on earth, then what's your purpose? What happens when you grind and get everything that you need? You have to end up giving away in order to find purpose. Because once you see how empty it is to store your riches on earth, you really understand that the Bible is true when it says it's better to give than to receive. It is better to give than to receive. And God gives willingly to people who are willing to give. Some of us are asking God for increase, but we haven't shown him that we're generous with the little that he's given us. And he knows that if he gives you more, all it's going to do is increase your pride of yourself, and you're just going to have a bigger savings account. But you won't invest back into his kingdom. It's better to give than to receive. I have two siblings, but when I was growing up, I only had one. And I had a little brother. Do I have anybody in the room where you're the older sibling? Do I have any older siblings in the room? Okay, all three of us in the building. My brother, being the little brother, being the baby, he has never really needed to buy new clothes or new shoes. Oh, Jesus, help me now. He always knew that all he had to do was wait on me to outgrow my clothes or be done with my shoes. And this, I thought this would stop after middle school and high school. My brother is pushing 30. And he still, when I walk in his closet, it's all my stuff. There are times where he just comes to visit me, and I'm like, hey, bro, hey, and he just goes straight to my closet. He's like, hey, God, I love you, bro. And he starts, it's like he has Zara. He's just shopping because he knows that he doesn't have to buy anything. All he has to do is wait on me. And there was one time where I visited him, and I was trying to get my outfit right, and I realized I didn't pack. And he said, oh, yeah, just go ahead and grab a shirt in my closet. And I was like, man, let me see what my brother got up in here. I went in the room, and I put this shirt on. I was like, oh, this is fly. Okay. Then I realized why it was so fly. Because I bought this shirt. This is my shirt. I ended up just getting back what I had already given him. And this is similar to what happens when we give anything to God. We can't give him anything that he didn't already have first. My second point is we give because everything already belongs to him. If you're taking notes, write that down. We give because he's so generous. But the second point is we give because everything already belongs to him. In 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 16, as David keeps praying, he says, O Lord, our God, even the materials we have gathered to build the temple to honor your holy name comes from you, and it all belongs to you. When we honor God with our gifts, we are giving him back a portion of what he first gave us. And I'm going, all of my grinders and my successful people in here, I got to tell you a simple truth. No matter how successful you get, no matter how much you acquire in this life or in this world, don't allow yourself to believe that what you have belongs to you. We are nothing but dignified renters in this world. You may think you own something, but only things that you have are things that already belong to God. Deuteronomy 10 tells us that everything in heaven and on earth belongs to God. How is that so? Because God is the creator and source of all things. So when it comes to giving him and honoring him with our resources, we better not get it twisted. Tap your neighbor and say, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Nothing that we have actually belongs to us. It's easy to gain material things and become entitled and greedy and become a hoarder of your resources. But look at what it says in verse 17. David is telling them to give, but he's reminding them of a truth. He said, I know, God, that you examine our hearts and you rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all of this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. For you taking notes, here's another sub-note. God is not concerned about your gift as much as he is concerned about your heart. Ooh, somebody need to highlight that, write it in pen, erase it. You can't erase pen, can you? Write it in pencil, erase it, write it again. God is not as concerned about your gift as he is with your heart. If your gifts are meant to honor God, then we can't see our offering as a burden or an obligation. We get to give to God. It's an honor that we can bless God. Let me play that back so I can really talk to your heart. We get to give to God. It is an honor that he would even receive anything from us. We need to be grateful that he even invites us into what he is building. Jesus could build the church without us, but he loved us so much that he didn't just leave us as his saved children. He says, I love you so much, I'm going to invite you into my kingdom as builders of my kingdom, tools in my hand, people who have purpose, and I'm going to add you to the vision God gave me. That's because he's so good, and he really deserves more than anything we could ever give him. One of the things that my wife always tells me when we go out to eat is that I am a terrible tipper. And I just, you know what, I think we need to revisit. Because this whole concept of tipping, I get it. We got to bless you. But if I'm already paying $100, and that already is going to hurt coming out of my account. And I hate it when they take the tip out before you even get the check. Like, it's already added into the total. Can I choose how much I give you? It was 100, but now it's 130. Hold on, wait. No. Hold on. Let me decide to bless you. And it be the ones that the waiters, where they didn't even really come see about you. They was on their phone, and they took that 30% out. So my wife always has to tell me, about being generous and not being stingy, but tipping, Lord, help me. And how many of us treat God like that with our generosity? We get what we want, but when it comes to blessing the person who served us and gave us what we asked for, what we ordered, what we came to get, we consume, but we can't bless the one who serves us. A lot of us are tipping God and not giving to God because, like me, you see it as an obligation and not an opportunity to show gratitude to the person who just served you. How many of you, you giving God gratuity and not a gift? Until you see giving as an honor, until you see it as God, the reason why I have something to give is you. The thing I'm being stingy about is the gift you gave me. The least I can do is bless you back. There's a story of Jesus actually going to the temple and observing the people who were giving to the church. It's found in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. This is where I'm getting my last point. Because I don't want you guys to not understand what I just said about Jesus caring more about your heart than the gift. There's a story of Jesus sitting in the temple and watching people give their offerings. And it should teach us a powerful lesson. It's really quick. Mark 12, verse 41 says, Jesus sat down near the collection plate. God bless whoever put this water up here. Oh, my gosh. You love your pastor. I love it. Because I be up here struggling, boy. Jesus sat down next to the collection box in the temple, and he watched as the crowds dropped in their money. And there were many rich people throwing racks in, putting in large amounts, stunting on everybody in the church, taking it out of their Birkin and out of their Balenciaga and just putting it in there. They was like, here go 1,000. Jesus, God bless you, 5,000. They was just giving unto the Lord, right? And then verse 42 says, then there was a poor widow who came in and dropped 2 small coins. While everybody else was giving to show others what they had, there was a poor widow who came in and put 2 pennies into the collection plate. Verse 43, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, let this bless you, the poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. There were people who were in the church and they felt that they were impressing the Lord because they had a lot to give. But if I have 1 billion and I'm giving 100, it's just a tiny part of what I have. But then there was a poor widow and she loved the Lord and she was believing God and she knew all she had was 2 pennies. But she was so grateful that God gave her 2 pennies that she gave the 2 pennies back to the Lord. And she didn't know that God in the flesh was sitting next to the offering basket. And in that moment, her little gift gave her more favor with Jesus than the rich folk who were stunning on the poor people. I want you to know that Jesus sees your heart posture when you give. He's not checking your account and impressed that you have a lot. Why? Because if you have a lot, it's because he gave you a lot. I can't be impressed with my stuff. The money in your, that's my money. But what I can be impressed with is someone who loves me so much that they say, God, because I have to trust you to keep giving to me, I'm going to give back to you what you gave. The poor widow left with more favor than the rich givers. My last point is we give because we just desire to obey God. We just want to honor him. We just want him to be pleased with our life. And even though it's tempting to hold on to our resources, we have to have the faith of that woman who came in church. And I bet you, as the rich people were looking at her, they were probably judging her. She probably didn't have the flyest outfit on. They probably knew she did not have it. And she had to push through the comparison and the judgment to get to the giving box. because she didn't make it about anybody else in the room. She made it about blessing the Lord with what she had. She said, I'm not going to allow my lack to stop me from obeying God. Look at verse 18 through 19 as we see what David said in his close. He said, O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. This is what he prayed for his people. He said, Lord, will you make your people always want to obey you? Ooh. He didn't just say, make your people obey you, because God doesn't want to be a tyrant over your life. He doesn't want robotic disciples. He wants you to want to obey him. That's why he doesn't force you to follow him. Then he says, see to it that their love for you never changes. So he was asking the people to give, but his prayer was that God work on their heart before they gave. Then he says in verse 19, he says, give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey your commands, your laws, and your decrees, and do everything necessary to build your church. Hold on, don't turn up yet. For which I have made these. Somebody was like, hold on, yeah. Almost there, y'all. He was praying not that they gave a lot, not that the rich and the wealthy would feel compelled, because David knew God so well that he knew if nobody gave, God was going to build his church without it. His prayer was not even about the offering. His prayer was about the heart of those who would give. He said, God, you know your people. And my prayer for them is not that we raise a lot for this temple. Because what if we build this temple, but not in the right heart? What if we build this temple out of disobedience? What if we build this temple and what we are building it for doesn't happen because we didn't give to honor you, we didn't build to honor you, and now the temple doesn't honor you? He said, Lord, give them the desire to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. And David was the king of Israel. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, you knew that one minute Israel obeyed God, the next minute they was creating altars and worshiping idols. It was a back and forth of them obeying and loving God, then failing God and disobeying God. And he knew the pattern of his people. He knew who he was giving his son over to lead. And he knew that they were notorious for obeying in one season and abandoning God in another. Jesus, you convicted me right now. Because we have seasons where we love giving to God, where we love obeying God. And it's usually in our prosperous season, as if our giving to God is an award for his blessing. God, let me just go ahead and give you this back because you were so good to me. Thank you for giving. You deserve it. You deserve it. Here's 2%. Like we do that. But what about in the seasons where you don't have everything that you want and you need and you're trusting him to come through? What if he challenges you to give ahead of him blessing you? What if he challenges you to give and be generous in your wilderness season? What if he calls you to obey him in the storm? Jesus wants you to want to obey him so much and love him so much that, like the poor widow, no matter what my life looks like, I will not be found in disobedience and not gratitude. Whatever I have, I'm going to give back unto you. The same way David prayed over his people, I want to match that prayer. He said, Lord, please make their love for you unchanging. Lord, give them the desire to obey your commands. And Lord, teach them to do everything we need to do to build this church. He had the vision for the temple he was building, but his prayer was for the people who he would call to build it. And my prayer for our church, as we continue to build, is not that we become the highest giving church or we have the most attendance or we become the flashiest church and we become the new whatever church in the world. My prayer is that we would have a heart to love, serve, and obey God. even if it means giving of something that we want to hold on to. Because we remember that nothing we have didn't first come from God. Somebody say amen. Before I close, I just wanted to give you guys an update about the move so I can invite you in to what we're doing. You can't teach a series called Build Your Church and then not tell how we can build what God is doing. As Pastor Nate said, we're about to move into a school, PS92. Save it, Google it, put it on your background of your phone, tat it on your arm, PS92, right there, so you don't forget. We're going to be there at the beginning of September. But one of the reasons why we're moving out of Alhambra is to make sure we set up our church to be financially stable. We were honest with our members and with you that one of the things that we wanted to do before we cast a vision, before we moved forward, is to set up our church to be sustainable moving forward. And I just want to honor you and appreciate you, because ever since we went through what we went through at the beginning of the year, giving has not stopped, it has not dropped, and you guys have kept the church afloat. Oh, give yourself a hand for your continued generosity. I just want to thank you, because you kept giving not to a man, not to a building. You kept giving unto the Lord. You never let what we were going through stop you from honoring God. And your giving is why we've been able to sustain before the move. So I just want to stop and just appreciate you for that. We would not have made it had you not been generous. So now we're moving into a new space. And now we're preparing to be able to bless a school and be able to add mentorship to children and be able to speak into different families. And we're going to bring back our outreach ministry so we can get back into the community. We're going to be able to hire and bring more people back onto the staff so we can better provide pastoral care to you. There are things that we want to do, and that's going to require us to be good stewards of what God gave us. So what I'm going to do today, I've already talked to my wife about it. We tithe today, but I personally, I'm going to give above my tithe. There's the tithe, and then there's offering. Tithe is what we already owe to God. Tithe is the tenth that we already give to God. That's obedience. Offering is sowing a seed into what God is doing. And I just want to do what David did and stand before you and let you know I'm not asking you to do something that I am not doing. And then remind you the story of the poor widow. There's no such thing as a gift that's not valuable. There's no such thing as something that's too small. So I'm asking you, if you are a member or you are someone who is invested in our church, I'm asking you to sow a seed into what God is building so that we can move into this next space and not have to tap into what we've already been saving. If we can move in and because of our generosity, be able to buy things and have ourselves set up and not have to reach into the church's account, that would be a blessing to set us up in the long run. So I'm asking you, if you give, if you have a tithe, God bless you. Thank you for that. But I want you to seek the Lord for if you have it on your heart to give an offering on top of that. If you're not a member, you are not obligated to give. But we invite you as well, if you just want to sow a seed into what the Lord is doing in his kingdom. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too large. And then I want to read to you, after they gave, and then we're going to worship and get out of here. First Chronicles 29, verse 20. After the people gave, it says that, then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the king. Another way that we sow into what God is giving is through our praise and through our prayer. Because it's not enough to give of our resources, but we can be sacrificial in our worship. I love how it says they knelt down and got low. They humbled themselves before the Lord. Before they started building, before they started doing the vision, they said, Lord, we will humble ourselves before you. And I just want us to give God that same gift as well. So the invitation today is twofold. If there's someone in this room and you haven't given your life to Christ, We would love to walk with you and to be a part of you entering into a personal relationship with Christ. That's always the invitation. We always are offering salvation. But for everyone else, I'm inviting you to the altar for us to give not only of our resources, but we can do what the people when they were building that temple. We can kneel before the Lord. We can praise his name. We can worship him ahead of what he's about to build. We have not seen what he's about to do in our church. But just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean we can't praise him in advance for what he's about to do. Because if we praise, if we sow, then the scripture says we will reap the harvest. I'm believing that the same God that blessed the temple, the same God that blessed the church back then, is going to meet us here at TGH. So we're going to move this out of the way, and the praise team is going to come back up. Will you meet me at the altar as we sow into what God is building and we praise him in advance for what he's going to do? Everyone say amen for the hearing of his word. Amen, amen, amen.